Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 195 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for the week of September 22nd, 2013-14. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and I hope y'all enjoyed the week off, because apparently my little vacation was so much that I forgot what year it was. And also, it wasn't really a vacation, because I had quite the Friday last Friday, when there would have been a show, and I was like, no, it's not going to happen. I thought about maybe doing one. I'm like, you know what? I can take a break every now and again. I can take a week off. That's okay. So that's what I did. But I did play some games, and I finally won a game of Splendor, which was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Though I'm not really sure if I won just because I was actually kind of paying attention this time. Every other time I've played Splendor, I just see, like, oh, I can get that card, and I usually only end up buying a bunch of the level one cards or whatever. The ones that, I don't know if there are any that are actually worth, victory points, I guess. I don't know if they have a term or not, but I'm not sure if any of those are worth, if they are, they're probably only one, two at max, but probably just one, but mostly they're just about building up your resources, your automated resources every turn. But that was fun. I really, really like Splendor, though. At the same time, I think it's a game that is good and made great by its components, because I don't know anyone who's played Splendor and hasn't just fallen in love with the chips, who doesn't just enjoy handling those chips. That makes the game. In the same way, another game I played has a certain component in it that really makes the game. So I'll get to that at some point. So why don't I just jump into what I've been playing?
Inside Ninja! Shing!
So that game I was referring to when I was talking about components being a very important part of a game's enjoyment is a game that involves some foam guns, and that game is called Cash and Guns, which recently came out with a second edition that replaced the, I believe, just completely orange foam guns with black orange-tipped foam guns, and some rules have changed. I'm not familiar with the first game. I've heard a lot about it, and that's why I was always interested in trying out the second edition when it was ready to come out, and it came out, I think, officially at Gen Con, maybe. It was at Origins as well, I believe, in demo form. But I don't think it was actually... there might have been a few copies for purchase, but I think it was Gen Con where the official release came out. Anyway, it is a bluffing game where you are either shooting or not shooting your fellow players and trying to end the game with the most money. And it's made fun, and this sounds horrible, but it's made fun by the fact that you are actually pointing foam guns at each other. You could play a version of the game, and it would be cheaper, with just using your hands, and then, you know, pointing two fingers at each other. Oh, bang, bang, you could just do that. It wouldn't be as fun. The foam guns are actually quite nice. They're a decent thickness. The changing of the color to black definitely makes them not so much feel, but just they come across being more real and less toy-like, which I don't know if that's a good thing for some people. This is a game that some parents, I would imagine, wouldn't like at all, because they wouldn't want to encourage the being so lighthearted while pointing guns at each other, because that's, you don't want to teach your kid to think, oh, playing around with a gun is just a big laugh. But the guns make the game in the same way that the chips make Splendor. Though I think Splendor has more going on for it, positively, if you took away the chips, whereas Cash and Guns, if it did not have guns, it would just sort of feel like any other bluffing game. There's not much that's really different. I mean, other than the Godfather role, which, so the way Cash and Guns works is everyone will, it's 8 turns, I believe. You have, because it is once everybody runs out of these specific cards they have, they're basically, it's basically their bullet cards. You have 3 bangs, which are successful hits, and then 5 misses, which are unsuccessful hits. And at the beginning of every turn, you will pick one of those cards, and you will do it privately, and then you will put it in like next to your little cutout character, so people know that's the one you selected for that round. And then the Godfather will pick, well, they won't pick, but they will count down or whatever and tell everyone when it's okay for them to point their gun at someone. And you don't have to point your gun at anyone. You can choose to just point it up in the air if you want to, if you're trying to like just play it safe and keep people from pointing at you. But once that happens, everyone was just looking at each other because maybe you'll feel okay if only one person's pointing at you or nobody is. But if there are two, three, four more or more people pointing at you, then you're probably going to want to just get out of this and just not, you just want to dodge and hide away from all these bullets. So, after everyone sees, who's shooting at who, there will become the phase where you can choose to either stand up and potentially take whatever hits, whatever bullets may be coming your way, or you can just flick your little cutout character, and then you will have. Doing that makes sure that you don't take any hits, but then you also are unable to collect the loot of that round, which is the money and all that jazz, which you want to collect in order to actually win the game. So you won't want to dodge too often, because then you will end up with nothing in the end. And once all that happens, people reveal their bullet cards, unless the person dodged, or if they, if you dodge all the other bullets, then your attack doesn't count because you chose to dodge instead of fire. So, any missed bullet or any bullet that did not have a target to hit, that stays hidden as ter in terms of what it actually was, so that people won't know if it was a hit or a miss. But all the cards are revealed if people stood up. And you take your damage. If you take 3 hits in the game, you are automatically removed, not removed, you're dead. But you are removed from the game in terms of being able to win. You are unable to play because you were dead. And yeah, there's plenty of killing going around. There are In the loot phase, there are, in addition to money cards, flat straight up money, there are painting cards, which, as you collect more and more paintings, the value goes up exponentially, roughly. And there are diamond cards, which whoever ends up with the most diamond cards at the end of the game, the diamonds are worth a really tiny value, but when you, whoever has the most at the end gets the big old fat diamond at the end, which is worth 60,000 bucks, and that's a lot of money. So it could be a good idea to go after the diamonds. And then there are also cards that are more beneficial towards your health or towards maybe killing other players. There are extra bullets, which you would then replace a missed card in your hand with a actual bullet card. There are health cards which will return to will heal 2 wounds from yourself if you are fairly wounded. And what else is there? I don't know. There is the Godfather thing, so That's part of the loot phase, is the ability to, instead of picking a piece of loot, you choose to be the Godfather. And what that gives you is that on the next turn, when the loot phase begins, you will be the first person to pick. And loot phase starts from the Godfather picking something and then moves in a clockwise fashion, so that usually there will be a few players who get multiple pieces of loot, while some will only get one. And if you're the Godfather, you're guaranteed to always get at least, I mean, if there's only going to be one player who gets two, then it'll be you. And also, during the shooting phase, the pointing phase, you are able to redirect one person's gun. So if somebody's pointing at you, you can just tell them to point it at someone else. So there's safety in that as well. So I really liked Cash and Guns. My one issue with it, and I think I read up that this was actually added to the game over the first edition, and most people like this, but I think it adds a bit of unneeded strategy. Or if I don't even know if I want to say strategy, but just I kind of don't like dealing with the painting and the diamonds, because those can just, I feel like those aren't so much about the strategy of collecting those or choosing to go after those, and more so just about the luck of potentially wherever the Godfather may be. If it's, because I feel like every time somebody really went after the Godfather, being the Godfather, so they'd have that safety net and be able to go first in the loot phase, they didn't end up winning. So I feel like it just happens to be like, oh, if you're the person who's sitting right next to clockwise, the person who keeps going after the Godfather card, then you're kind of safe. You're kind of going to be really lucky and be able to get these things more than the other players. But yeah, I'd have to play more. I only played a few games. But I did like it. It is fun pointing guns at each other. I don't know. That just sounds kind of bad to say, oh yeah, I really like this game because I think it's really fun to point guns at my friends. That doesn't sound bad at all, no. It is a game, though, I would never buy myself, just because personally, I would never, other than game night, be in a situation where I'd be playing with four or more players. Plays 4 to 8, and that's great for game nights and large gaming groups, but for a single gamer who, is more so playing two-player games than anything else, it's not the best game to own. And that's the only knock I really have against it, and why I would not pick one up myself. But yeah, I really liked Cash and Guns. I thought it was fun just having that foam gun element, and it kind of sort of revitalized the whole bluffing party game for me, just because it's just like, oh, we get to actually point guns at each other. Also, the group of people I was playing with was pretty good, and that's always, always a huge, huge part of party games and all those type of games in general. I haven't played Resistance in a while, and I really wouldn't want to unless I was playing with a specific group of people. In the same way that I think, while I really, really, really hated playing Werewolf, I think if I played Werewolf with that same group of people that I would only want to play Resistance with, I think I'd probably end up enjoying it, since it's not that different from a game like Resistance. But that is Cash and Guns, second edition. I do not like the way they spell the name of the game. So it's Cash with a dollar sign instead of an S. And in Guns is fine, but then it's apostrophe N instead of and, but there's no apostrophe after the N, which, I mean, that needs to be there to take the place of the D that does not exist. You're not just replacing the A, because it's not Cash and Guns. I don't, that's just an annoyance on my part. But yeah, that's Cash and Guns. If you want to point foam guns at your friends, it's the game for you.
I love the drafting mechanic. I love it a lot, and therefore I love games like Seven Wonders and the like. But recently, Seven Wonders has become kind of a nuisance. I don't want to say that it's too complicated, but it seems that every time I've played it in the past month or longer, I'd say the last 5 times, if not more, it's sort of ended up in a disaster, and there have been maybe half or just over half of the games don't even end up finishing because, one, if there's one player who has never played the game before, there are a lot of rules in Seven Wonders in terms of how you can score, and they're not the most straightforward rules. On top of that, the whole having to, you know, when you're drafting the cards, you pick one, and then you put the pile to your, depending on the round, either your left or right, but you don't reveal until everyone is ready, and everyone reveals at the same time. And the reason why this is an important part of the game, and people need to follow it, is because this keeps everyone in the same round. If people don't follow this rule, people are like, well, I already know how to play this game, so I'm gonna go faster. I want to get through this quicker. There are many cases, at least in my experience, where people were on different rounds. So that some people had less, they had smaller stacks, or they had like multiple piles that they had to deal with, and it just became a disaster in trying to finish one of the ages. And that just kind of ruined the experience so far. So the second I heard Sushi Go was sort of a, not so much, I don't want to say it's a replacement, but it's a more simplified, quicker version that really just focuses on the drafting. You don't have to worry about anything else. It's just a fast drafting card game. I was like, this sounds like my cup of tea or my plate of sushi. Har har. So I finally picked up a copy and played a few games, and I love Sushi Go. One, I love the theme. I think it works really well, and it allows the game to have really adorable and delightful art, which it has. This is the most recent edition, so it's the, I think, Game Right is the publisher of this edition. And it is just a card drafting game, and it can be played really, really quickly. So it is both a great filler game, and it is a great drafting game. It's a great game to satisfy my love of drafting without without putting so much, without overcomplicating it. And it's a great gateway game, I think. It's definitely a great gateway game into more complicated drafting games, but I think it's a great gateway game in general, like Ticket to Ride and all those other great gateway games, like Nautilus Industries, recent release. But the way it works is just everyone gets a certain number of cards. It varies depending on how many people are playing. And then you pick one of the cards, you know, you have it face down, and then you will reveal it with everyone else. And then you pass your hand. And then you just keep doing that until all the cards are gone. So unlike, say, Seven Wonders, you don't discard the last card. You will just end up getting stuck with whatever the last card is, which may actually be beneficial towards you. It could just end up being your lucky day. And the whole sushi theme works because it makes sense. You have your various ways of scoring. There are like dumplings, which work basically the more you have, the higher their value will be at the end. So it's like, you know, one's worth one, two's worth two, three's worth four, or so on. I think it's actually like the, there's a number of two difference between one and two, and then number three, then four and five, like that. Then you have your tempura, which you get a set of those, and it's 5 points, and you just can keep getting numerous sets. And I may pronounce some of these things wrong because I'm not that versed in the whole sushi world in real life. I enjoy sushi, but I haven't had it that many times. But sashimi, which probably I'm pronouncing it wrong. You get sets of those, you get points. Then there are your nigiri and wasabi. The wasabi, it counts sort of as a multiplier for those when you play them. And I think those are just straight up points, not set collections. I haven't played it in like a week. But yeah, I mean, there are various ways of scoring. How a certain food item scores is on the bottom of the card, so it's very easy to remember that. It would be nice if there were cheat cards that came with it, little reference cards for people. But I think the fact that they have all the info, or at least the most important info, on the bottom of the cards, that works. There's also pudding, which is more of a, well, it is a dessert, but it's a end game victory point system, and I just really like it. It gives me exactly what I want in that drafting game of just having a hand and then picking a card for myself and trying to take away potentially a card that somebody else wants as well, and it just puts it into a really, really quick playing card game with a surprisingly great theme. The theme works really well. I can't think of another kind of mechanic. I probably wouldn't have said that sushi would work for a drafting game before Sushi Go, so if the designer really knows what they're doing, then I think they could probably make anything work, and Sushi Go just works. And I don't think you have to be a fan of sushi to enjoy the theme, because the art is just really nice and colorful and playful, and it's a game that I think is going to be with me all the time now. It's a game that I'll just take with me, because no drafting game that I've played really works that well with just two people. But Sushi Go is a decent two-player drafting game. So that's another plus in its favor, but if you are a fan of the drafting mechanic and haven't played Sushi Go yet, I would just recommend picking up a copy. It's not an expensive game, because it is just it's basically like two regular decks of cards in terms of the size. Comes in a tin can, which is, I don't mind that for small card games like this. I more so don't like it in games like Forbidden Island and Desert, but yeah, it's a really, really, really good game. And it's really easy to teach, really fast in terms of playing. I mean, even with new people, they will catch on really quickly, as at least in my experience. So that is Sushi Go, and you should go and get some sushi. Go. You should get some real sushi and some Sushi Go, because both are great. Sushi is delicious. And no, I don't actually think it is that nutritious. I don't know. All that rice, all those carbohydrates, too much of that, not good. Yeah, well, this is Diet Dean 101 with the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Dun, dun,
dun. Insane Ninja! Shing! And just like that, another episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast is over and done with. And you're thinking, thank you so much, Mark. Speaking of Mark, who is me, I am your host, once again, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Kush3, Instagram mkush, and of course the site is pixelatedsausage.com. So if you would like to support the site or the show or any of that stuff, you know, follow me on Twitter or check out the site. And of course, if you haven't already, which I don't know how you'd be listening to this if you haven't subscribed, please do subscribe to the show. And if you would be so kind and haven't already, please, please rate and review the show on iTunes. It does help out a lot. But some other shows you should check out while you are perusing iTunes. If you're into video games, you should check out the other podcast I do. It's called Pixelated Radio, and you can find it at pixelatedradio.com. You should also check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. If you're into racing, check out the Sports Car Unleashed Podcast at scunleashed.com. And if you're into wrestling, check out Kicking Out at 2. That is Kicking Out, the at symbol, and the number 2. And then check out, for absolute nonsense, the Undercover Unitards podcast, which you can find all of those shows on iTunes and other various places on the web. And if you like the music at the very beginning of the show and the end, that's my brother, Liam Campbell. It's a song off his first studio album, Sanctimonious. It's an old album now. It's so old. It makes me feel old thinking back that I first heard the songs back in high school. That's a long time ago for me. I don't know about y'all. But the song is called Kursabir. It is in Icelandic. So if you are listening to it and you're like, well, I don't know what's happening, that's what's happening. Iceland is happening. And no, this isn't D2, the Mighty Ducks 2. This is Iceland as a good thing. But if you don't like it because you don't like listening to music in foreign language, in a foreign language, well, then you can check out his other music, because that is the only song where he is not speaking English. Well, the other ones are British English and not American English. So you will hear him say aluminium instead of aluminum. So if that really bothers you, then I guess you should probably continue staying away. But yeah, that will do it. And of course, check out Robert Searing's inserts at inserthere.com. The link is in the post, so check out his stuff. I really like his work. I think he does a really great job creating and crafting his foam inserts to make them both visually appealing and quite practical in terms of having specific parts that you can take out and use when you're actually playing the game. And I am somebody who is always and will always be vocal about the often crappy included inserts of board games. So if you have the extra cash, I think it's always worth picking up an insert or two for your favorite games. So check out, again, his stuff is Insert Here, which you can find over at inserthere.something. I know my familiar link is still searing.me, so /store, but the links are all in the post, and you could just Google Insert Here, board game inserts and whatnot, or Robert Searing. He's a great guy, makes some great inserts. And that will do it for this here episode. Have a lovely rest of the day, everyone, and a lovely weekend, and I will talk to y'all again in a week. Oh, there'll be some new board games to talk about too, including some stuff that's on Kickstarter at the moment. So look forward to that. Adios, everybody. Lirir maður frá frakasti Kutu, ég gleyndi ekki því sem þú gerði Kutu, þú mátt ekki að Vala sér svo ekki Kutu Fyrir þú ekki fyrir núna Farðu 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 Þetta maður mín Elska mín Mother of me, let kiss you bad, let kiss you bad, man. Sem þú gerir kutu Núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera kutu Hjartan skal deyja aldrei kutu En þú er ekki hjörtu Farðu 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 Þetta maður mín Elska mín Maður mín Kiss you bad, let that kiss you bad, man. So, some people have asked me about me and my liking of taking songs that aren't sung in a more, I don't know, sensual tone, and then doing that. So, here's a little special, it's not special, but if you're still listening to the show after everything, here's some garbage for you. This song is from a Disney movie, and y'all can figure out which one it is if you want to figure that out or not. I don't care. It's a good song, though. Good song. Gotta keep one jump ahead of the bread line, one swing ahead of the sword. I steal only what I can afford, but that's everything. One jump ahead of the lawman, that's all, that's no joke. These guys don't appreciate I'm broke. Riff raff, street rat, scoundrel, take that, just a little snack, guys. Rev him open, take it back, guys. I can take a hint, gotta face it fast. You're my only friend, I boo hoo. Oh, it's sad Aladdin's hit the bottom. He's become a one-man rising crime. I'd blame parents, except he hasn't got 'em. Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat. Tell you all about it when I got the time. One jump ahead of the slope, folks. One skip ahead of my doom. Next time, gonna use a non-dead plume. So, there's that. And because some people have heard it and some people haven't, and everyone thinks it's weird when they hear it, though the expression on my face when I do it is part of the charm. I did quotation marks right there because it's not charming at all. It's just freaky. It's weird. It's not as weird as my little mustache dance I do. But yeah, so this is another way of singing that song. It's a more traditional way.
Gotta keep one jump ahead of the bread line, one swing ahead of the sword. I steal only what I can afford. Well, that's everything. One jump ahead of the lawman, that's all, and that's no joke. These guys don't appreciate I'm broke.
Riff raff, street rat, scoundrel.
Take that, just a little snack, guys.
Rip him open, take it back, guys.
I can take a hint, gotta face the facts. You're my only friend, I'll boo hoo. Oh, it's sad and red and sit the bottom. He's become a one-man rising crime.
I blame parents, except he hasn't got 'em.
Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat. Tell you all about it when I got the time. One jump ahead of the slow pokes. One skip ahead of my doom. Next time, gonna use a nom de plume.
So that's another voice of mine. I also enjoy occasionally doing more of a theatrical voice, like you would hear in, say, Les Miserables. So I can do that too. It's weird, but it's not, I don't think it's as weird as either, well, maybe it's weird, but it just sounds kind of plain, maybe.
Gotta keep, no, that's, gotta keep one hem.
I see it. It's not a voice I do often, and I usually only do it with traditionally theatrical music, so.
One,
I was about to sing a Les Mis song. I was like, wait, what am I doing? I'm trying to do this one song in every single voice. So let's try it again for, I don't know, the fourth time.
Gotta keep one jump.
Why am I? This is Sean Connery. I don't know what I'm doing right now. This is a disaster.
I got to keep one jump ahead of the breadline, one swing ahead of the sword. I steal only what I can't afford. That's everything. One jump ahead of the lawman. That's all, and that's no joke. These guys don't appreciate I'm broke.
See, that's not. That was all over the place and not at all what I was trying to do. More so what I'm trying to do is...
One day more. Another day, another destiny. This never-ending road to Calvary. These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time. One day more.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. That's it.
It's a ninja! Shing!
Oh. And for Emerson, if he happens to still listen to this podcast and has managed to make it this far, if not, he will never know about this. But he once wanted to know how high I could sing, or like how high I could get my voice. So I'm going to sing a song. It's going to start off normal, and then it's going to get high in the parts where it's high, where the other singer comes in. It's Oh Mother of Mine. Temptations, because temptations are great.
Oh, mother, oh, mother of mine, I've been blind. The things that you're telling me, yeah, I really paid it no mind. Oh, please, please forgive me, yeah, I know I was wrong. But now I know my place is at home. Can't you see I've been crying, almost dying? I need your advice, mama. Oh, mama. Oh, mama. How much about love you don't understand? Yes, you know that you were wrong. Yes, it was that young girl. She put you in such a world. Oh, I'm not gonna be no fool no more.
There you go. That's some crap for you, Emerson.